All right, my man Chris, Beast Boy Barnett. How you doing for one, man? How you doing with all this corona pandemic right now?
Man, best I can. They just well, I'll say I just found out that they took away the whole fishing thing, so that definitely bummed me out. But yeah, other than that, just trying to hold it down, just living this new life we have to live.
Right, yes, sir, yes, sir. And where are you at right now? Where are you living at?
I'm in Athens, Georgia right now.
Athens, Georgia. Okay. Well, we're hoping to get things back up, man. Hopefully we hear a lot of good news in the next couple of days and we get stuff rolling, especially across the board in mixed martial arts. It's been a crazy month, April, and with UFC 249 and all that. So first of all, what's your first take on everything that Dana White has been doing with UFC 249, 250, the whole Fight Island? What's your first take on that?
I mean, it's people gotta eat, man, to be honest, you know what I mean? And that was a way for fighters to make ends, and I absolutely loved it. Like it made it its own thing, its own entity. I don't know if you remember that movie, Island of Dr. Monroe, where you kind of had a bunch of little freak animals or whatever. So it was
Yes.
kind of be like that, but with them, but with the whole fighting aspect. And I think it'll take away a lot of, I'll say, distractions and stuff. You know what I mean? Fighters get there, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ahead of time. They have nothing but to focus on their fight. You know what I mean? Instead of going to, I'm not saying,
Right.
you can stay focused in Vegas and stuff, but how easy is it to, make a left and go to, do something else or whatever. But no, I absolutely love that idea.
Right. I'm with you on that, man. Guys, we're talking to Chris Beast Boy Barnett. Give him a follow on the IG, Beast Boy Barnett, heavyweight. Okay. Saw you a couple times live, a couple island fights. I think it was 52. Saw you just defeat Rashad Jackson, back and forth fight. I saw you also at the Dean Tool promotion show. That was very cool event, big event you and Yoel rolled around. You bring something different to the table. You bring something different to the cage, the octagon, or the ring. Most of the heavyweights, if you think about them throughout the years, right? Stipe and DC and Arlovski and stuff. Very serious, very stoic. That's not you, man. Your smile lights up the room. At weigh-ins, I saw you weigh in. You bring the party up. Has that always been a goal of yours? Is that just who you are and you will never change? I would love your take on just your unbelievable bubble, great attitude that you bring to the ring or the octagon.
Man, it's crazy. I'll say I'm more, I don't say, but more flamboyant with how who I am, and I guess I've just accepted the fact that I'm gonna be happy, and I don't care what you have to say about it. So those guys you actually named, I've actually had a chance to train or either A, be around all of them inside that gym. They're that, that very turned on, whatever. But as soon as that clock hits, a lot of these guys are just like me, man. Like they're very bubbly, crazy nerds in the Pokemon and everything else, just like, you know what I mean, just like a regular, regular person. But for some reason, when that camera cuts on, they gotta be that, oh, I gotta be, oh, no, I'm tough, the role. But me, I'm just gonna let it out, there's no reason for me to try to hide what I can't hide, because it's gonna pop out either way, one way or the other. You're gonna be like, man, this guy's either on drugs or extremely happy. So, but yeah, no, like, there, you, I hate the heavyweights that, you feel like you're just talking to a stone wall. So I
Right,
feel like I
right.
have to go extra sometimes when I'm in that ring, because that's like, besides the whole fact that, okay, great, you can fight, cool. What else? Like, you know what I mean? Those people are like, they're giving up good money. You know what I mean? Like $50 to me personally, sometimes I'm just like, dang, man, you really gonna pay $50 to come see me fight? Okay, cool. But you deserve more than just a flashy knockout. You know what I mean? Let me ruse you. Let me talk to you. I want to give you a moment that you won't forget. Just not just from the fight, but me interacting with you. You know what I mean? And talking to the actual people.
Oh, absolutely, man. You've always been the super kind to me and everyone around. I see people ask for pictures and everything. You always give people your time. It's always really great to see. And then also, I was there live. I got video of it. What you bring after your fights, especially on the W, with you with the dancing inside the ring. Was that just something you did once and now it's like a little ritual of yours? How did you become, you know, Justin Timberlake inside that ring? How did that come to be?
Oh man, I'd have to say it was my first fight. How it actually became. So one of the guys, like literally night before, had slipped and fallen because I was actually supposed to be on the undercard of my original debut. So they were like, "Hey, this is your chance. We're gonna put you first fight, first fight live, HD net. You're going on big time. Call everybody you know." So I was like, "All right, cool." I said, "Okay, if I don't knock this guy out, I got to make sure you know the fans remember me somehow." And of course, they throw me Jonathan Ivey. You know, my first pro fight I get a dude that's got 90 plus fights. He's in the Tap Out magazine. I'm like, man, these people trying to set me up. So I was like, okay, cool. They're going to try to set me up. Not only am I going to beat this dude, then I'm a clown after the fight. So after I beat Ivy, I did like a 5-minute breakdance routine, but HDNet wouldn't cut. They just kept like coming around and filming and filming. And I was like, hey, man, y'all got to cut this camera because I'm getting tired, please. So ever since then, I think it was Ron Crook. I think it was Ron Crook that came up to me and interviewed me, and he was like, don't ever lose that. And like just from there, like me just being who I am anyways, it would have whatever, but the fact that it came from somebody, my first pro fight, at the time I was like, oh my God, HDNet, da, 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 you know what I mean? So it came from him. So after my fights, I was like, Ron Crook told me to dance. So guess what I'm about to do? I'm about to dance. You know what I mean? So that's where that dancing aspect comes from. And then I'm genuinely happy. And then when I'm happy, I dance. So that's all one big ball right there of energy of happiness that's happening after those fights.
Absolutely, my man. We love it. You're definitely a fan favorite every time. Like I said, I'll bring it up the last time because I was just there live, those Island fights and those Dean Tool promotion show. How did you ever get hooked up with Dean Tool? It seems like you keep coming back. I think you fight for Island fights 3 or 4 times. Like I said, that the Dean Tool promotion show weekend at Pensacola was unreal. Yoel and Masvidal and Pettis, yourself. It was just a great weekend, my man Phil Rowe. How did you get hooked up with Dean Tool?
So you got to dial back. I don't even know what year, 2000 something at this point. A former promotion had a disagreement. We had a misunderstanding. They were seeing things and going in a different direction and I wanted to go right. They were going left. So, We you know, whatever that all happened and stuff got said here, there. I was this, I was that. Dean took a chance on me. Like, you know what I mean? That was the whole overall thing because it was this rumor about me. But everybody that met me in person was like, dude, how could this be true? And I was like, if I told you that God was a liar, then I'd be, you know, mean. I'd be just as bad as him. I said, the proof is in the pudding. Let my actions, you know, speak for their words. You know what I mean? So type thing. So Dean, being who he is, as great as a guy as he is, he took a chance on me. And I remember that that fight I came in and I fought Demario Dennis. And ever since then, it bounced me right back to what I had. Like, because I was on a good little wave from that HDNet, the XFC joint, you know what I mean? And then it just kind of, like, 3 years, like, it just, like, nothing at all, you know what I mean, for 3 years. And then out of nowhere, Dean was like, hey, man. I was like, yes, let's do this. You know what I mean? And from there, dude, it just blossomed from there. I think I had like 2 or 3 fights with Dean. And then from the exposure that Dean helped me get, I bounced over to overseas and whatnot. And then from there, now is the rest is history again. As I say, that was my second rising there. But yeah, Dean helped me bounce back into this.
Very cool. No, that's awesome. He is. You know, I talk to that guy all the time. Dean Tool, definitely getting some stuff done. You talked about going fighting overseas, coming back. Have you been interested into one of those major promotions? It seems like you would be just who you are, your fighting style. You know, of course, those big ones, UFC, PFL, Bellator. Are you interested in those, or is that just not where your cup of tea, where you want to be, or just it hasn't happened yet? You guys haven't connected. What's your take on some of those bigger promotions?
That's the goal, man. Like that's I'm doing everything I can. I'm taking that Brock Weaver approach. Just fighting anybody, everybody in any organization, whatever it is, I can do. If they were like, "Hey, you fight this bear next week, you're in." Guess what I'm doing? I'm fighting the bear. You know what I mean? So that's that whole approach right there with it, man. But I would love to be, honestly, like to me, that's that whole overall end goal. Every basketball, every college player wants to play in the NBA. So to me, it's like
Yes, sir.
every MMA fighter wants to be in the UFC. Much as every, the PFL and all that stuff is cool, but it's funny how, like, if you fight in the organization, you always get to see that he's a UFC veteran. He's a UFC veteran. You know what I mean? That's always the big one. You know what I mean? So fighting for them would be cool, but just fighting for a major organization, honestly, at this point would be like, you know what I mean, would be set for me because what I just did, the little what's that? The backyard fighting thing down. I got a
Right,
kickboxing
right.
tournament actually coming up. Hopefully, June 12th is supposed to be the new set date for that. But got that coming up and whatnot. But yeah, like shoot, I forgot what we were talking about that quick. Oh yeah, just being a part of any major organization at this point would be awesome. I got a chance to talk to some of the guys actually when I helped Stipe with this actually with the last two camps when he fought
Okay.
DC and talked to them and that those guys were they were highly impressed. You know what I mean? To the point to where they were like they said the same thing. They go, "What is going on?" And I told them, I was like this and that. So with everything going on, as soon as we were actually getting closer to what the goal was, this hit. So it's just basically once this is up, bouncing back, and then maybe taking one or two, and then that should be it from what they're talking about. You
Right.
know what I mean? Like other than that, because if you look at the whole overall stats right now, MMA wise, I'm 5-0, three knockouts and two decisions. You know what I mean? So it's like the stats are there. You know what I mean? The personality's
Yes,
there.
sir.
Everything's there. The fans are there. Like a lot of people want it. I'm gonna give you a great fight, win, lose, or draw, no matter what. You know what I mean? So I'm like that. Yeah, definitely. To answer the question in a short story, yes, I would love to be a part of one of those big overall organizations.
You just said you were out there with Steve. Were you out there, Jeff Lights Out Hughes? Was he out there with you?
Oh man, yeah, Jeff, Jeff's
Okay.
awesome, man. Jeff's a real
Yeah.
cool dude. Actually, the first time I was up there. He came and picked me up from the hotel. Like I was up there. I get yeah, the first time he fought DC and the second time. He came and picked me up, and I was like, "Oh
Right,
God, we got
right.
one of these heavyweights." Da, da, da. As soon as I got in the car, it was just like an instant. Oh, man, hey man, we joking, laughing about all this, and of course, you get to the sparring aspect. I was like, okay, I don't know how they spar, but I'm gonna hit them as hard as they hit me. We're in there just working. Like it was beautiful. Nobody's trying to take anybody's head off. It was just work. You know what I mean? Just great work. Oh, what's that strong style? Up in Ohio, man. Like it's just hands down one of the best gyms. I mean, look what they got. You know what I mean?
Right,
Stipe,
right.
Jeff, all those guys up there. Alex, Coach, all those guys up there, man. But yeah, working with him, dude. It working with both of them, you get to see where you're at. And like they're not saying no one got over on anybody, whatever. If anybody got over, it's Stipe beating up anybody. But I know I can do good with some of those guys in the UFC. You know what I mean? With training with Stipe, training with Alistair, training with DC, training with all those. Like I've literally trained with half the heavyweight roster. You know what I mean? And I know with a lot of the guys. You know what I mean? With a lot of the top 10 guys, man.
No, that's awesome. Jeff's been on the show multiple times. Love that guy. He's he's had a couple bad breaks inside the octagon there, and sometimes that happens. That's just a fight game, you know what I mean? So that's why I kind
Yeah,
of brought that up.
that
Yeah, man.
Duffy,
Evan,
hoo-wee. And see, I've trained
you
with Duffy too,
okay.
man. Yeah,
That's a
Duffy
big
actually,
boy.
because Duffy was down here in Georgia. He was down here at Hardcore. I think it was Hardcore Gym at the time. But I just made it my whole MMA career, probably about 2, 3 years in. The whole time, my whole wrestling career, my college wrestling career, all of it, no cauliflower ear. I get in there and I spar with this man one time. He hits me in my ear and I get cauliflower ear. I was like, "Word, that's what we're doing now." But yeah, no, nah, man, that he He is as strong as he looks. I will put that out
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh my goodness, that's a big boy. You talked about it earlier, 2009, fighting Ivy. You know, we're in 2020. Hopefully, like you said, we pick up in June and we get stuff rolling again for you. We would love to see you at the end of the year or maybe next year in a big promotion, like you said. What has been your spotlight performance? When you're 20 years from now, you're going to put this video on and be like, "Hey guys, this was it. This was the performance that I go to." What performance was that for you?
Oh man. I mean, if you ask the internet, it'd be me throwing the 365 roundhouse kick to the head. When I think I was at the World FC, yeah, it was World FC. That one got like a million views on my page, a million views on somebody else's page. I was like, man, I need those views, man. But oh, highlight. Shoot, that's man, that's a tough one.
Is it defeating like a great name like a Walt Harris? You know, one of the prime UFC heavyweights now in the game?
See, I took advantage of Walt in that situation. Walt was like fresh in the game. I was probably like six fights in, so I mentally knew what to do. Like, I would love to fight him again now because of his development. Like, dude, like that, to see where he has gone, like where he was, and to see where he's at, man, it's like, oh my God, man. Like, I toot his horn for him, man. Like, that is wild. But not like that, because that fight was like, one, I came in overweight, and Walt was just like, yeah, whatever, now I'm gonna fight you. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. But shoot, it might be, you know what, there's a guy named Daniel Perez. I think that was my second fight, or either Kenny Garner, because the hype that was around those guys, and I was like 1-0 at the time, and Daniel Perez had just knocked out Marcus Jones. So this is when I was living in Tampa, and all you heard was Marcus Jones. He's about to be on the Tough Show. He's going to UFC. He's this. He's this. That. He's that. But meanwhile, he still had this little lingering thing behind him of Daniel Perez that just knocked him out. Because they wanted to take Perez, since it literally had, I'll say it happened probably a week before he actually got on to the Tough Show or whatever. So I got a chance to actually train with a lot of his guys, Rob Kahn, down there at GT, or was it Gracie Tampa North. He put like six guys into the show. Bamboo, Matt Arroyo, like a whole bunch of Corey. Oh my God, God rest his soul. He just passed away probably a couple of years back. Corey. Oh my God, this is my home. This is my zone. Why
I
can't I
know it's
remember
on
his
the
last
tip of
name right now?
I know I'm a Daytona Beach guy. I should know this too. It's
Dude,
on the tip of my tongue.
training with him was, it didn't make any sense, man. Like, the levels he would go, like, everybody else is, he's on the aerodyne bike just going crazy. But, all right, sorry, I didn't mean to jump off topic.
All
Where was
good,
that? I was
brother.
talking about Matt Arroyo, training with those guys. Shoot, I don't even remember what I was talking about, but yeah. Oh my God, what was it? My
Chris,
bad, what was the question?
you're just talking about your second, your third win, some of the great wins that you had in your whole career.
Boom, gotcha. Okay, that's what it was. Yeah, Daniel Perez. So yeah, I'm training down there in Tampa. All I'm hearing is Daniel Perez is he's this, he beat this guy. He's K1. He had like two K1 fights, blah 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 blah. At the time, the company I was with, I'm still on the ruse of they want me to lose. Like, they know I'm gonna go out there and fight, but they want me to lose. So I already have that in the back of my head. You know what I mean? I got that against me. I got the guy that just knocked out Marcus Jones against me. But I remember Rob Kahn looking at me and being like, you did this for me, you know, I love you for life type thing. And then getting the chance to train with Marcus Jones, and actually, I'm not even gonna lie, getting beat up by Marcus Jones, knowing that I had to fight the guy that beat him up, I was like, man, what is really going on right now? You know what I mean? So going in there, and I remember it was that first round. I think the fight's online. I think what's it? Christopher James actually has it under his name online. Me fighting Daniel Perez, like that first round, I just couldn't do anything with him. Like, I was trying to take him down. Oh yeah, the guy had everything. He was a state champion wrestler, a kickboxing K1 champion, just knocked out Marcus Jones. So when I tell you, like, everything was stacked against me, everything was stacked against me. He's 6'3", came in, right. He had to cut from 285, all this. I'm just like, man, what is that? They are trying to set me up, but whatever. So that first round, I'm in there. I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and try to take him down. I'm the short guy. Let me take him down. I'm trying to take him down. He's kneeing me and elbowing me in my head. I'm like, okay, hey, Chris, hey, you got to get up. Ah, you got to get up. This isn't working. So I get up, spin around. I literally do this little weird spin move. He somehow takes my back. I said, okay, all right, what is going on right now? Time out for Twix. It finally took my whole instinct just to kick in, because at this point I was just like, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. So I just started throwing, and I was landing. It was towards the end of the first round, but I was landing, and I was like, I just need to hit this guy, Chris. You're in MMA fighting right now, not wrestling. Hit him. So second round comes. I can hear the commentators. Oh, yeah, well, Chris might have got that because he's the hometown guy, but I think he got beat up. Not Ron Crook. What was it? Guy Metzger. Guy Metzger, I'll never forget. I hear Guy Metzger running it. I hear him running his mouth, but Mike Chiavello, you know, he's over there in the baseball. He's got to come back and do his thing. You know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, cool. Mike Chiavello's got me. So we go back out there that second round. I throw a kick, boom. He catches that one. I throw another leg kick. He misses it. I feint the jab and come over with the overhand right, and he drops. I don't think it was the overhand right. If you go watch the video, I don't think it's the overhand right that knocks him out. I run full speed and Ray Lewis spear tackle this dude onto the mat to make sure he doesn't get up. The ref looks at me like, ugh. I don't even think the ref knew if that was legal or not, though, how hard I tackled this guy in the ring. I hit him a couple times and the ref pulled me off. But yeah, that one right there is that Kenny Gardner, because literally as I'm walking down the ramp, I hear Kenny's fans, "We about to get knocked out. You about to get knocked out. 30 seconds, bro. 30 seconds, bro. You know you did." And I'd never heard that before. And I was like, oh, my God, maybe he punches really hard. I am terrified right now. But got in there. He hit me one good time. And I was like, ah, I got this. Marcus Jones just hit me last week. We're fine. So, yeah, now that I'll say those two right there definitely were my my prides and joy, those first two, just because I was definitely counted out.
Right. Oh, those are great stories, Chris, man. We appreciate it. A couple more fun things here for them. We have a little fun segment at the end of the program here called First Bite. We're talking to Chris Beast Boy Barnett. Make sure to give him a follow on the IG, Beast Boy Barnett. I think you said there, and it kind of really, you know, rang with me. You said they kind of set me up to lose. You know, you've been around the game for a long time. I just had David Arbello from Sucker Punch Entertainment. I had Malcolm Kikawa, first round measure. I talked to agents. I talked to promoters. I talked to people every single day in the fight game. How much, you know, you being around it now, knowing that, hey, this one I'm the A side. Okay, this one I'm a little bit of the B side, but I'm going to shove it right up. You know what I mean? How important is it to get with the promotion or get with, you know, management, or kind of figure stuff out a little bit inside the game, kind of behind the curtain a little bit?
It's weird because you don't want to, because then everybody jumps to that whole conclusion of, yeah, they set me up. I want to say, I can say I've felt like that, but I don't want to say I've ever felt like that. Like, I knew if I did what I could do my best, I know, right, you know, what the outcome would be. I'm not worried about this or that happening. Now, if there's some stuff going on, like the guy's grabbing the rope and then clearly, you know, the guy's not calling it, then yeah, something, you know, whatever. But as far as like me, sometimes I put myself in the worst predicament because it makes me blossom the best. Like that's my, maybe it's just my own crazy anxiety working against me or whatever, or working with me.
No, that's,
because initially
that's right.
It puts me in a spot. Yeah, you know what I mean? Initially puts me in a spot to where I can flourish, you know what I mean? So I've felt weird about some promotions. Like, I don't want to get too much into it, but like that overseas stuff, you're kind of like, right, okay, right, man, if y'all going to give me that, then I guess I'm not.
I just want to go. Goodness.
Oh, no, anything crazy, like, because one, I don't go in there and with the macho attitude and trying to, oh, well, I need six yellow M&Ms and four green M&Ms, and if I can't, I can't fight. I don't go in there with, you know, a high read or anything. I'm like, yo, what can I do to help you, actually? You know what I mean? That's more of the fighter I am. Like, hey, do you want me to bring some water? The fighters need water. Okay, cool. I'll bring some extra water, man. Like that's what I'd rather be than be a burden to this promotion, to this promoter, because there's been times to where I've helped promoters on the amateur side, and like I've just like, oh my god, thank god you don't have to pay these guys, because they're a bunch of pussy little, like, and you're like, dude, stop it. Like you know what I mean? So I think like sometimes it's just more or less of what that promoter's had to deal with in the past and how they deal with me individually, because I've seen them deal with X over here completely different to how they deal with me, because one, I'm not demanding anything. I'm just, hey man, how you doing? Oh yeah, yo, no, nice shoes, man, blah, 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 blah. Hey, you need anything? No, like that's my whole thing. Like, I'm not trying to, why would I want to egg any, and to fall back on what we're actually talking about, why would I want to even give them an inkling of being like, hey, you know what? That guy Chris is a jerk. If you see him tap on his choke, let them hold it for about two more seconds. Why would I want him, you know what I mean, to go back and do that anyway? So I'm always good to promoters, and I've never really ran into anything shady. I'm trying to think, hang on, what did I, I've had my friends down in Mexico not get paid. I'll say that much. I don't say that much, yeah. But as far as I go, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good on that aspect. Like I've always tried to treat them with respect, and they do the exact same when you do that.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Okay, like I said, last little fun little question here or topic, and then we'll get into a little, like I said, little segment at the end. To me, mixed martial arts and podcasts are like spaghetti and meatballs. It goes so well together, you know, with the Joe Rogan and the promotion. One of my girls, Andy Hill, just won four of her last six fights, a lot in the last year, but she was on the Joe Rogan show and her name blew up. She's a superstar now. You know, it's great for promotion. I totally get it. But why do you think, what's the secret sauce that podcasts are so vital to the MMA scene?
I'd say getting that info out there, man. Like, so say for instance, like there's a lot of people that are going to listen to Joe Rogan that aren't going to watch UFC at all. Like, you know what I mean? But they're going to listen to Joe just because from comedy, from Fear Factor, from the conspiracies, from whatever, you know what I mean? That brings a whole nother level to it. So you got to say for instance, so there's a you know, Lil Duval, right? The smile bitch, come on, him, right? He's never been a fan of he was never a fan actually of MMA, and then Stylebender came out to his song, and then now he's like an avid fan of it, like, you know what I mean? So like, wow. Little stuff like that. To go down that wormhole, just using Joe Rogan as an example, with the Little Duval thing. Little Duval, to some of my friends, they were like, yo, I saw him on Joe Rogan, and I had no idea this was the guy who made this song. This is, so it works in both ways, but you get more of it. Look, like us having this conversation here, a lot of people just think, you know, okay, yeah, he's a bubbly, happy fighter, but you get more in depth with stuff like, oh my God, like I've got stories, like, you know what I mean? Because I've been around these guys, I've been with Joan, been with Alistair, I've been with these guys, and I've got stories that aren't going to hurt them. You know what I mean? I know, but like, you know what I mean? So it's information that's fun, that works. Like, I want to say Brandon Schaubs is one of those type of guys. He figured it out. Like, MMA is it's art. It's art. Literally, it's art. And if you have any style of art or any kind of art, you can put it on any type of platform, podcast, radio, talk show, whatever it is, because at that point, you know how to draw and you know what it takes. You know that it takes this type of acrylic paint to put that on that canvas. You know what I mean? So when we're talking about MMA and all this different type of stuff, we know what we're talking about, and I can break it down different to somebody else, and you can break it down different, but when we're both talking, they're going to get that whole aspect, you know what I mean? And then they're going to tell somebody that's going to break it down, you know, to a whole nother thing. So yeah, that spaghetti and meatball thing is like, that's the perfect mix. Like, that's a perfect word for it, man, because like this is exactly what you need, you know what I mean? Like, in there's
Right.
never, I won't say there's, you can never get enough either, you know what I mean? So
Oh no. It's been great for us this whole pandemic. Like our numbers exploded. We're 4 or 5 times up in the last 3, 4 weeks. We've had a really strong, guest. Dean Thomas came on the show, broke a big news for us. He's leaving AT American top team. So we've had a really good month. So we're really thankful and grateful.
what?
Hey, real quick. Real quick, my man. Drop one of those stories, brother. Shoot, give me an overrated, give me a Jones story, give me a little sneaky story, like you guys going to Whataburger at 2 a.m. giving up.
Yeah. Hey, hang on, man. Who told you about that? All right. Well, here we go. All right. So, which camp was this? This was probably my third camp in with Reem. And like when I go to camps with Reem, you're there for like a month. Maybe sometimes it feels like a year, but it's really like a month or whatever. So the first two suck. Because Reem, like his only goal was to crush you. Like, and if he didn't crush you, then like he was like, man, gonna try to crush you more still, but you can't break like your toys because then you ain't gonna have nothing to play with. You know what I mean? He kind of looked at me. He looked at me. He gave me the. He goes, Mr. Barnett, I think you're correct. So here's what we're gonna do. We'll do a little jujitsu tomorrow, and then maybe we'll lightly spar today. I was like, we just got done hard sparring. What we call lightly spar? I said, never mind. You get it. We'll do jujitsu. Fine. So this is like camp one. By camp three, me and Alistair are buddies now. Like we're good. Like I've texted, hey man, how the kids, man? He's like, oh good, man. I'm over here in Holland right now. Okay, yeah, whatever. So this is third camp in. I'm not afraid anymore. We'll just put that out there. We'll just be honest. I'm not afraid anymore. I can talk to him like he's a friend. Not like, because he had a very, how can I say? His attitude matched who he was. I'll say like he was very, he was tough to approach. And people didn't understand. Like I remember having to be the first time we were in New Mexico when he first started with who was it? Jackson Wink. Yeah, when we first started with Jackson
Yep,
Wink,
wink.
I was there for the Nelson camp. I was there for the Nelson camp. You know, it was perfect.
Okay.
They were calling me Black Country,
Big country.
literally. while I was out there, so it was perfect. And this is probably about our second camp now. No, it was. I think this is our third. No, this is our second camp. Yeah, because it's the camp after this with the Whataburger. Ugh. So this is like the second camp in, and I'm noticing as we go out places to eat, he really is not ignoring people. He is in his own world. Like he is zoned in to what he needs to. Like the goal is, hey, we're going here. I'm getting shoes. That's what I'm doing, and then we're leaving. Me,
Right.
shit, I'm not. Oh man, look at these shoes. Oh, is that a shirt? Oh man, is that a goldfish? Oh wow, that's shiny. You know what I mean? So I like to explore. Now people know who he is. Now he's in New Mexico. Honestly, there's not much to do in New Mexico. Everybody there, they know all the fighters. They know if you're a fighter or not, you know what I mean? Or if you played
Right.
football, or if you're one of the what is it, the Lobos, the
New Mexico.
Lobos at the college. So
Yeah.
Alistair, while people are like, hey man, I can get an autograph. And Alistair, if he doesn't feel like signing an autograph, it's not that he's being rude. He's doing what he needs to do to get to A to B to get home. So he'll be like straight up, no. And I'm like, damn, like, yo, it's one person. You couldn't sign. And I look and I'll be like, ah, you gotta understand, you know, he's here for those shoes only. He don't want to talk to nobody. And people be like, oh man, yeah, who are you? And I was like, fuck, here we go. I'm his bodyguard. What you gotta understand is it was tough. That hurt my feelings the most because it was, and who are you supposed to be? Clearly I'm better than you. He's talking to me, not you. Thank you. Ooh. That's what I wanted to say. I never did though. I left that alone. So we get to this. I'll fast forward now to get it past because Alistair, like, basically what I'm trying to say is if he's gonna be who he is. Like the only time I ever had seen him smile up to that point was when we played FIFA. The dude's a monster in FIFA, and then like he's one of those FIFA players like you don't want to beat him because if you beat him, he might punch you.
Right.
Like Oh, you scored another goal. Oh my God. It's gonna be different. We're all doing little pranks, gags, everything's like we're a family at this point. Me, there's another dude named Benji Azad. We call him Sneaky Pete. He was the camera guy, whatever. Peter Brawin or whatever. He's got some good photography actually that he does. He does a lot of stuff, FIFA, UFC, all that stuff now.
Oh,
So
nice.
Benji. I ended up getting my own room again somehow. I don't know, like, cause Alistair takes care. I would. That's another thing too. I will say that Alistair takes care of you in camp, whether he's beating the hell out of you or not. He takes care of
Right.
you. He will. If he does hurt you, come here. Let's get the best guy over here right now to check him out, please. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, thanks, man. After you crack my rib, you gonna fix it? Oh, you're a real pal, man. I will say that he takes care of us because. At Jackson's, like they had these little dorm rooms that he could have just threw us up in, like you know what I mean. But no, nah, he put us in like these little Marriott stay in suite homes, like where you had your own little, like it was a house. It was literally like your own little apartment, like you know you had the oven, all this stuff. So that was the best part. See, which one reason why I shouldn't even have been. When I get to the end of the story, you'd be like, really? Why don't you just stay in the house? So anyways, so we're here, we're at the third camp. Everything's good. Da, da, da. I forgot who's fighting this third one. But we're at this third camp, getting it in, blah blah blah, doing what we need to do. We're probably about who we. We're probably about a week in. Now I can say this too. Bouncing back to that whole Dean thing. When Dean picked me up, I was super heavyweight. Like you know what I mean? Dean like took a chance on
Right.
a fat kid for real. Like you know what I mean? So, out of that whole slew of things, when I bounced back, I had probably about two fights in, and then I started bouncing around with Alistair. So you got to think, I'm with Alistair at that weight. Alistair helped me cut from 340 back down to two. Alistair got me down to 280, and then I did the rest on my
Wow.
own. But yeah,
Right.
exactly, man. So working in his camp, and when I tell you these, oh, ugh. So we're in the third camp. We had these shakes that we had to drink every morning. It would be beets. Some type of oatmeal, something, some egg whites, something else, and I'm like, dude, come on, man! Like, I'd rather just eat this than drink any of this. Me, I can't do beets. I can't do beets at all. What it does to your body, how it looks when it comes out, you think you know something's wrong with you. So he puts like it's just this whole bunch of stuff in there, and I'm like, yo, why? Oh, the funny thing about that, I've never been to a Costco before, and I was like, man, this is like Sam's. This is just like Sam's Club. But we hit this one corner, and I was like, oh shit, this kills Sam's Club. What is that? But so we're doing these shakes, we're doing everything. I'm like a week in now. I'm like a week in. And we're doing these shakes, we're doing all this stuff. I've lost at least 20 pounds already. Like just from training with him, running this there's this hill thing there, like running that with him, trying to keep up with his cardio workout that he does. Not and then on top of that, actually working with him, sparring with him. Oh, this was the Mark Hunt camp. This is what camp
Okay,
that
Mark Hunt.
was. Oh, the Mark Hunt camp, because I remember my elbow got I had like all kind of purple and blue marks on my arm from throwing that overhand right, trying to, you know, I'm trying to mock that overhand right that Hunt has, you know what I mean?
Right,
So, all
right.
right. So, anyways, actually, to the actual story. So, we're about a weekend. About a weekend, they got Whataburger in New Mexico, right? So, first time I ever had Whataburger was down in Pensacola. I got that little triple
Yes,
cheese,
sir.
whatever it was. I told you I
Yes,
was super
sir.
heavyweight. Don't judge me. So I got that. I said, oh my God. So the place that he put us, it's got a McDonald's, a Walmart, a Whataburger, and this and that. I said, if this ain't the devil right now trying to tempt me at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, all right, man, I'm gonna wake up. I'm gonna have to drink this beet shake anyways, so I'm just gonna go ahead and do it. Whatever, I'm getting my food. So I go over there. I'm in line, and I'm like, "All right, yo, look, hey." They're looking at me like, "What's wrong with you? Why you ordering like you might have just robbed
You
something?" And
hiding.
I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Yo, chill, chill, shush, shush, y'all, hush." I need this on the low. Just be quiet. Don't say nothing out loud, okay? So me and Benji's driving. I'm like, hey, look, let me get a triple this. Let me get that milkshake and throw some cheese on that bitch. Like, I am in there to make sure I'm winning. So we get back to the hotel, and I'm like, all right, Benji, let me eat this in your room, because I just happen to have the room that's, like, adjacent to Alistair's. So I'm like, if I do need to sneak back, I know I can take that little path, hit this high walk, and then I'll be fine. So from there, I go get the. So I get my food. We get back. I tell Benji, hey, look, man, let me eat here with you. I already know. I just feel it. I can feel it. He's gonna pop up and run me down. He's like, nah, man, you got it. It's 3 o'clock in the morning now at this point. Just go to sleep. There's no way he's up. I'm like, all right, I walk by. I don't see the Xbox light on or the TV on. So I'm like, all right, I'm good. I know he's still sleeping in his little room. So I walk by. I don't know if I swiped my key and my key was just like, wah, 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 wah. I just made the loudest noise possible or what. But I swiped my key, and this man opened the door like he might have been LAPD. He foul. Hey, Mr. Burnett, I see you got some burgers there. What are you doing? I said, huh? These ain't even mine. First off, I was just holding these for Benji. I went instant. I was like, nah, I'm not, because I know he's going to try to beat me up and make me throw him up tomorrow. I ain't stupid. He goes, so if you've got Benji's burgers, why does Benji have burgers also? I said, how does he know Benji has burgers? How does he know this already? Wow. So apparently somebody dropped a dime on me as I was walking back. But yeah, lo and behold, now that next day, I definitely, my triple burger came up. Mr. Ream was he thought it was hilarious. He told me to tell him thank you, and I was like, you know what, you're right. I need to thank you because you helped me get down to what I need to be. So, but no, yeah, that's just one of many stories with that man. But
that's so good. That is a phenomenal story. We'll have you back on again, Chris. We'll just literally have story time with Chris Beach Boy Barnett. We'll go all into it. But this is it. This is the last little fun segment. We call it First Bite here on the Fight Bananas podcast. I'm going to throw out six names to you. You know, 5-10 seconds. The first thing that really comes to your mind, come with it. You ready?
Okay. Oh, boy. Hang on. Okay. I'm ready.
Stipe Miocic.
Cool dude. Great dad. Congratulations on his new house. I think he just had a birthday. Great guy. Love training with him.
Yoel Romero.
Again, great guy. Loved training with him, actually, with Jones in New Mexico. But again, great guy, strong. Don't get how he does it at his age.
Mike Beast Boy Davis.
Mike Beast Boy. Oh man, that's Pots and Pans right there, man. That's my fusion twin right there. Yeah, that's man. Yeah. That's my brother from another mother right there, dude. Beast Boy gang all day. Brat.
My man, Mike Tyson.
Oh, GOAT, man. Godfather of it all, man. Like, and the fact that he's still moving the way he did back in the ring now, just showing people technique, is scary. Don't run up on Mike. Love it.
Dean Tool.
Savior, man. To put one word on it, savior. Biggest dude doing it at the top level, man. Like, I'm just gonna leave it at that. You said keep it simple. Savior, great guy. Somebody I look up to.
Awesome, man. Last one, my man, Chris Beast Boy Barnett. Here we go. Last one, Walt Big Ticket Harris.
The man. It sucks that him and Alistair are actually supposed to fight. So that's one of the, you know, that's a whole toss up. I know we get two phone calls, but dude, that guy right there, hands down, great. Great dude, man, just in and outside that cage, man. And I love his progress and process that's gone on, and you know, everything that's gone on with him, for him to still be where he's at, man, with the strong head moving forward, man. So yeah, bless up to him.
Absolutely, my man. Crispy's boy Barnett, I had an absolute blast talking to you. You're always welcome to come back on. We'll do it again. Like I said, we'll do a story time with you. Hopefully the summer kicks up good for you. And we'll talk real soon. All right, my man?
Sounds good, man. I'll get an actual good phone. I'm going to get rid of my little Obama phone. I'm going to get a real phone so y'all can actually see me next time.
I got you. We'll go iPhone 11 with you, my man. I got you.
Word. All right, cool, man. I appreciate you, man.
You too, brother. Have a good night.